This podcast is brought to you by PrideNZ.com with generous support from the Royal Foundation. How would you describe your identity?
A gay male. Student, I don't know, what?
Yeah. Do you think the language that we've used about to describe our sexual orientation has changed much over time?
I think so, probably. We're in a position where we can use the word queer probably more, like, appropriately. Even though I know in the UK it still hasn't been sort of, like, it's still an offensive word, but I also know a few friends who, they identify as, like, homosexual women, but they don't identify as a lesbian. They just don't like the word, and so I guess we are in a bit of a different place now, but, yeah. Mm.
When did you first become aware of your sexual orientation?
I think about the age of 15-ish. It's kind of hard, though, because I come from a really very liberal family, and we've had, like, quite a lot of gay people around, like, in my upbringing, like, gay friends of my parents and things like that, and they always stress that it's fine. And so for a really long time, I wasn't sure if, because I was so accepting of gay culture, I guess, that I never really thought about it. I just kind of was, I was like, gay is okay, straight is okay. And then I, yeah, I guess I remember sort of, funnily enough, I was watching porn, and I remember thinking I'm more attracted to the guy than the girl. But it took me a really long time to sort of, you know, properly understand that. And for a really long time, I genuinely thought I was bisexual. I know that lots of people consider or use bisexuality as a stepping stone. Not to say, like, obviously bisexuality is a, you know, but I genuinely thought I was, only because I suddenly had this interest in the other sex, but I think because, you know, heterosexuality is just everywhere, and it's not so much shoved down your throat, but it is very much, like, the norm, and so for a really long time I just thought, you know, I was both. Should have cottoned on that I wasn't interested in any of the girls in my school, but I don't know. And then I think I properly sort of accepted that I was gay and not interested in girls, around the age of 18.
And did you have a coming out?
Kind of. I came out to my, I think I came out to my friends first. A few of my really close friends. I came out to a friend in high school who was bi. He identified as bi. And I remember talking to him about it. Actually, no, so I'm going to rewind once again. There was someone, a friend of a friend who lived in Dunedin, and he was openly gay. And I remember I was just talking to him on Facebook. And I was just like, hey, I think I might be gay. And I felt like, I didn't really know this guy, and so I felt like I kind of console in him, because he would just sort of, you know, he didn't know much about my life. I could just talk about it to someone who was openly gay. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of chatted about it. And then that made me go and talk to that friend who was in my school, who identified as bi. And I talked to him about it as well, and he just kind of told me what it was like for him. And then I guess it's kind of that snowball effect of the more people I told, the easier it kind of got, especially once I told my closest friends, because that was, you know, those are the people that meant the most to me, in terms of my friend group. And then my first family member I told was my sister. My parents had gone away for a few weeks somewhere, and we were eating dinner, lasagna, and I was telling her about a story about this guy who he was sort of like, he was on the rugby team, very like straight and really lovely guy, and like a good friend, and we were all quite intoxicated at a party, and he just got like quite close and not inappropriate things, but he was you know, crossing the line of what you just do to like another guy friend if you were straight, maybe, and the other, you know. So I remember thinking, I wasn't quite as drunk as he was, and I remember thinking, I'll tell him to stop now because he's going to severely regret this in the morning. Just, I knew his other friends, they weren't going to be particularly accepting if he suddenly was outed or anything like that, so I just thought this wasn't particularly a good idea, and maybe I'd hit him up about it the next day. So I did, and he was like, I think I'm bi, I don't really know what to do, and he was really stressed out about it. And so I was telling my sister this story, but as I was, the reason he sort of like started coming on to me is because at this point I was relatively known to be openly out at high school, and I was telling my sister this story, but because I hadn't told her that I was out, there was sort of this like missing link in the story of why he'd be coming up to me, and then I sort of got to the point where the link was just going to be way too obvious, and so I paused and was like, is this about to happen? And then I was like, Tali, I think I'm attracted to guys as well. And then my sister and I are really close. I consider her one of my best friends. She's 4.5 years older than me, so she's kind of always like being my like older sister, in a like protective kind of way. And I remember we just like kind of looked at each other, and then both of us just started crying, and then both of us started laughing because we were like, "Why are we crying?" I knew that I could come out to her. It was more of just sucking it up and sort of doing it. I remember Ellen was talking to Ellen Page. Ellen DeGeneres was talking to Ellen Page, and they were just discussing how you think for a really long time you've kind of accepted in yourself, but you actually carry around a lot of shame. And you can't really pin what that shame is about, but when you come out, it's sort of like all of it goes away. And I don't really know what the like mechanisms behind that is, but I feel like it's just some sort of, I don't know, by not being able to openly say it, there is some sort of like something is holding you back from it. Like, why would you not if you weren't somewhat ashamed about it? And so I think that maybe that's why I just started crying, because I knew she'd be okay with it. And I don't know why I hadn't told her first, or even, you know, when the idea first popped into my head a few years back. And so I think it was just kind of that release of finally being able to tell someone who's really, really close to me and who would understand the whole time and be really supportive. And so we talked about it for a while, and it was really lovely, and it was just, I don't know, it felt very natural. And then I didn't come out to my parents for ages afterwards, like a year and a half or so, but I'm also really close to my mum, so I was like, well, I'm not going to go to uni without telling her beforehand. So I went, and she was reading a book, and I sat down next to her, and I just sat there for like an hour in silence, and then she looked up and she was like, Mark, you've literally just been sitting there doing nothing just next to me, what are you doing? And I was like, I kind of got it, I want to talk to you about something. And she was like, what's up? And I just told her, after another long pause, I was like, I think I said, how would you feel if I brought a guy home rather than a girl? And she was like, well, you know, I wouldn't mind at all. And I was like, okay, because I think I'm bisexual. And she was like, cool. And it was a very sort of, I don't know, I think she didn't want to do the whole we love you anyway, because that almost implies that there was sort of something wrong with it in the first place. And I think that mom by no, Mum's a very stubborn and very opinionated person. She's so lovely, but I just knew what she meant by being so calm about it. Because that's the thing, is that that's how she raised me and my sister, to see homosexuality as, like, absolutely no, there's no difference between your sexual orientation and who you are and where you fit in the world. So there was that, and then I didn't come out to my dad for a really long time, mostly because my relationship with my dad was a little bit, it was fine, it was more just that he's a very typical bloke. He loves his sports, and he's like a bit of a builder, and I don't know, I think we just were very different people. The thing we bonded over was, like, action movies that we'd go and see in the cinema, and that felt almost like that was just about it. And there was kind of a lot of pent-up hostility inside of me towards him. We used to argue a lot of the time about nothing in particular, and I think I can now pin that back to not being out to him, because ever since coming out to him, it's been fine, and I just don't feel like there's this pressure behind. I don't know, I used to just snap at him for no apparent reason. I think it's almost like I was this close to just being like, I'm gay and you won't understand, but no, that's just not the case. But it turns out, when I came out to my mum, she was like, have you told dad? And I said no, and she said, do you want me to tell him, or like, are you going to tell him? And I said, I don't know if I'm ready. And she said, well, that's fine, but I don't lie. And if he asks me, for whatever reason he would ask me, I can't tell him no, because it's not going to feel right. And I said, well, that's fine. And then, so apparently, like a few, like, I don't know, 6 months later or something like that, dad did ask mum, and mum said yes. But then dad didn't come to me about it, because he was waiting for me to come to him. And mum didn't tell me that he had come, even though she swore she did. So I was talking to mum on one night, and I told her, I think I am gay, I don't think I'm bi. She was like, to be honest, I thought that the whole time. You don't show any particular interest in girls. And I was like, cool, I feel like I need to tell dad that I'm anything. And she was like, he knows. To which I freaked out. I was like, what? How long? And then she was like, oh, for like, I don't know, 8 months now he's known. And I was like, are you kidding me? And she was like, I told you. And I was like, no, you definitely didn't. I'd know if you told me. But no, it was really nice. And then I remember coming home after that, and it just was so, it was like the air had completely cleared. I don't know if mum had talked to dad after the phone call, because my dad and I never, like, talked about the whole, like, coming out thing. I just came home and just gave them both a massive hug, and it just felt really different. And I was just, like, I haven't really argued with my dad since, in, you know, maybe about, like, small bickers, but nothing as it used to be. And I would just talk about things, you know, very comfortably about him, and I had my first boyfriend, and he came and met my parents, and it was all just, I don't know, it was just all really natural. But that was my coming out process. It was very long and sort of stretched out, I think, just because I don't know, I just think because I was in a liberal family, it was a very, it's almost a weird situation to be in, because obviously it's lovely, and I'm so thankful that that is how my family is, because I know that that's not the case for so many other people. But I think it just, it's almost like I wasn't pushed to do it, because it was just sort of like, oh well. But I don't know, I'm glad I'm here now. So
awesome. Whereabouts did you grow up and go to school?
So I'm from London originally. I went to Hampstead parochial school, and then when I was 7 going on 8, we moved to New Zealand. So that was in 2000, and we moved straight to Queenstown, and that's where I lived up until going to uni in Dunedin. So yeah, just grew up in Queenstown mostly.
Do you think it's harder or different growing up in the South Island and somewhere like Queenstown compared to other places?
The thing is, I kind of see Queenstown as like a little bit of a jewel in the South Island. My experience was pretty great, and I'm on the UniQ committee here, and I've gone and talked to people, and I do gender studies I'm in my honours year of gender studies, and so we've done a lot of talk about sexuality, and I think in first year we did a bit about education systems and sexuality. And I remember we all had to sort of, well, we didn't have to, but in the tutorial we talked about what our experiences were like in high school. And my high school was very supportive. They encouraged you to take same-sex partners to the formal if you wanted to. In year seven, so like the first year of high school, this guy came around and took us all to the library, and he just sort of explained that homosexuality is fine. Statistically, three of you guys, there was like 30 of us, three of you guys will be gay, which is really funny because the rugby guy and the guy who was identified as bisexual were both like sitting there. None of us were out at this point, so it's quite funny. But it was, you know, it was awesome high school, absolutely amazing. And then I figured out, well, I discovered from other people telling me what their experiences were like in Christchurch or Invercargill or Gore, that it was not the same, and it wasn't great at all. And it was actually quite, like, terrible, which was so, so upsetting to hear about. And it just made me really, really grateful for what I had to, I happened to experience. I think it might be just because Queenstown has this massive influx of people from all over the world, and you can't really be reserved about anything in particular. You get people of all religions, of all race, and of all sexual orientations coming and going. We have Gay Ski Week. It is just a very liberal sort of town in the middle of other towns that might not be.
Did you experience did you see any differences in that when you moved to Dunedin? Or do you think maybe it's different because you're older?
In Queenstown there's only one high school, so it brings sort of, like, everyone is in the same high school. You've got people of every, I don't know, sort of income bracket, and everyone of, you know, any religion or anything like that. Once again, it's all just in the same high school. And so I did actually have a group of people who were not nice to me, and they did bully me, and I, you know, they would yell faggot down, you know, the street or whatever, but it was drastically outnumbered by close friends or just people who were had positive attitudes towards homosexuality. And so that was fine. But then moving to Dunedin, I felt like that gap wasn't as drastic. Dunedin brings people from Wellington and Auckland, which I think are in general probably a little bit more liberal in terms of this. In terms of, you know, LGBTQ culture, and also people from places that aren't so accepting. And my experience in my hall, for example, there was a lot of homophobia. Turns out, like, I didn't expect to ever go back in the closet, but I did in the first semester of going to my hall. It was really surprising because I was very, like, in high school, I was so vocal about, like, if anyone even was slightly bigoted, I'd be like trying to tear them down, and was very, you know, and I just didn't expect it. But I was suddenly just felt so it just didn't feel right. There was another gay guy at the hall that I was in, and he was constantly bullied, but because he didn't make any efforts to socialize with anyone, he would stay in his room, and then he had his own separate friends outside of the hall, kind of thing. And so it's almost like they kind of dehumanized him, and they used him just as like a you know, they just targeted him because it was easy. But then it turns out that people did know about my sexuality and no one cared. And I just was mistaken. But that's, I guess, the problem with homophobia is that you don't know sometimes if saying, oh, that's gay, talking about something, you know, you trying to equate it with the word lame. You just don't know, especially if you're closeted. It was kind of like eye-opening because I was almost chucked back in the closet and sort of saw what it was like to see homophobia around you. And I don't know, it sucked. But I did have also a bunch of really good friends there who were super liberal and really lovely and very supportive. So, but yeah, and now I have got a really large group of, you know, I found the good people in Dunedin.
Is it important to you to have kind of like a sense of community and belonging?
I think so. I don't think it has to be people who identify the same as me personally. I just think it's people who are supportive and who I know, who I very sort of stably know what their opinions are. I need to know that if someone was, you know, if someone yelled faggot down the street, that friend, regardless of what their orientation was, would be like, that's not okay, and even yell out, like, don't say that or something, you know? I just like that sense of sort of support, knowing that there is support, even if you don't particularly need it at that time, just to know that it's there is really important to me.
And you feel like there's lots of support here at the uni?
I think so, yeah. I think it's great. I mean, there's queer support and there's UniQ and, yeah, I think it's really good.
Do you see or have you been part of, social media as a way that queer young people in New Zealand are kind of connecting about their sexuality and issues that they're facing at all?
I mean, like, I'm on the UniQ page, which I post on frequently. There's also this Dunedin LGBTQ sort of blog type thing on Facebook. I'm constantly just on my own newsfeed and posting things, I don't know, about news around the world or something that's to do with it. So I guess I'm relatively active in terms of that, and I see it obviously come back from people who are interested in the same thing as well. So yeah, I guess I do see it. Especially with Facebook. To be honest, only with Facebook, really. I mean, I see it on Tumblr, that, I don't know how you want to describe it, a social media site, but that's sort of more international rather than...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Facebook is as well, but because I only know people nationally, and, you know, so, yeah.
What do you think about how queer and trans people are represented in the media, and if we think of media as news, TV, movies, books, all sorts?
I think... it's getting better in terms of a more, like, it's being represented more, essentially. And it's starting to feel a little less like obviously it is still a minority, but it's starting to feel less like a tiny pool, that people are, you know, considering that, yes, there are gay people walking around the street. It's not just sort of this, like, they'll be part of this community that's somewhere, you know? So I guess that's good. I think trans people are still severely underrepresented. It's kind of hard because I surround myself with people who are very active with spreading this like queer and trans news. On my Tumblr, I follow things that stuff is always coming up, but then for other people, because they aren't interested in it as to the degree that I am, it's hard to judge where, because I'm seeing it everywhere, but that's because I'm choosing to find it. But I still think it is really underrepresented, trans in particular. And I think transphobia is still a massive area that needs tackling because, I don't know, I just think it's, people are very ignorant when it comes to that stuff, so.
Do you see any solutions to that?
I think, it's hard to know what the most effective solution is, but just to make people more aware, I don't know, maybe it's just, because I don't know how to, like, I don't know what would be the most effective way of talking about it without sounding preachy or, you know, I just, I don't know. I want, in my ideal world, everything would be kind of normalized, that there would, it wouldn't be a surprise to be like, this is, you know, a trans female, trans male, or queer, or just anything. It can, it, there shouldn't be any, like, surprise or shock factor to it, and we're getting there, I feel, with sort of the LGB side, but the T still needs maybe more exposure or something like that. I don't know, it's hard to say.
What do you want to do after uni? What are your kind of hopes for your future?
Well, I've got my undergrad degree in psychology and gender studies. My postgrad currently is my honours in gender studies, and next year I hope to do a personal trainer's course. So somewhere in the future I'd love to somehow combine mental, social and physical in one sort of area. I don't know, I'd love to like have kind of like a wellness centre that had a gym, but it would also have sort of support and be very welcoming to everyone, and I don't know. It's obviously so far in the future, but I definitely have a really high interest in fitness as well as sort of like social things. And yeah, somehow I want to combine them, but yeah, we'll see.
How do you feel about the marriage equality bill passing? Was that something that was important to you?
Yeah, definitely. I was in the room watching it being talked about. It was very important to me. I want to know that I can get married here, and I want that for other people, and I think that that's just sort of a reflection on the country's attitudes towards this in the first place. You know, just I think by putting it in the open that, you know, there were all these people who wanted to have the ability to marry each other really brought it to the surface, and for those people who just don't, you know, they're not homophobic, but they don't involve themselves in LGBTQ stuff, it really brought to light the issues that they might not have considered before. And I kind of think it just reflected that there are a lot more of us than some people might have expected, and that it is actually, you know, human rights that were being sort of taken away. And I think that's awesome. And it's almost like that snowball effect, because you just, you know, and then there was England, I mean, the UK that was doing it as well, and I just, it's just awesome to see who's, like, on the right side of history kind of thing, so, yeah.
If you could give a message to other young people who are struggling with their identity or coming out, what would it be?
This is so hard, because I think just everyone's experiences are so different, but, just the thing that helped me the most was having the support of you, like just a few people, and just to be able to trust them completely made all the difference to me. It just, I don't know, talk to someone you trust. And it just that first step will make it so much easier. It's just, I don't know, everyone is in such different situations, so it's so hard, because I hate to say the wrong thing, but for me it was just taking it slowly, and yeah, just coming out to the people you trust the most makes the whole world of difference, and yeah, that's all I can...
maybe to finish up, what's your favourite thing about being a queer young person living in the South Island or New Zealand?
I think it's quite exciting to be a part of something that's changing, like, right now. Sort of, like, the LGBTQ stuff is very topical at the moment, and it's really exciting to have the opportunity to really involve yourself in something you believe in so strongly. I love that I can also be in a position where I'm comfortable with myself and I have my really close friends, and hopefully through that I can offer some support to people who might not be at the position that I am in. because I think that that's like a, I don't know, that's a really high sense of responsibility, and you can either choose to take it on or not. And I think what I like is just to be able to be there, and for everyone else who's in my position to be this beacon of what, that it's okay and that it gets better, and that you can just be that, what I was talking about with that person that can support you. You can be that person for someone else, and I think that's probably it.